Notes up here. That's all good. Hey, Carla, will you take those? Yeah, I might be preaching you already the message you already heard on Sunday. So I want to challenge you to just challenge yourself to be a student of the Bible. Get into the Word. There is so much to learn. And when you think you've heard all the basic stories, I want to tell you there's so many side stories in God's Word. And then it reopens and opens up the big stories that you already know. And I know that I need to be a student of God's Word to my last days. Because I need to keep learning. And I pray that you also have the desire to keep learning. Because God's Word is amazing. And that is both the Old Testament and the New. Okay? That's not, we need both. We need the Old Testament and we need the New Testament. They mirror one another. You get into God's Word and you'll find yourself reading in Genesis chapter 3 where it says He will crush your head and you will bruise His heel. And you'll find and read some stuff in that in the New Testament. Daniel, see, you'll read the book of Daniel, and you'll see that God raised up a people, the Babylonian people, with the Chaldeans and all of them, that God used them, allowed them to come in and be a disciplinary action for God's people. And in that was King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. It's kind of going to be where we're going to be at tonight. But we're not going to be in Daniel. We're going to be in Genesis. chapter a little bit 9, 10, and 11 tonight. Probably, if you've read your Bible a little bit, you probably or at least heard the story of the Tower of Babel. Have we heard of the Tower of Babel? Anybody heard it? Not sure of it? It's okay. It's one of those ones where you just kind of read about it and then you're done with it. But I want to share with you tonight that there is more going on with the Tower of Babel and this guy named Nimrod. And so we're going to be in Genesis tonight. Love teaching, love preaching out of Genesis tonight. And so we're going to be there tonight. So if you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to be in chapter 10, and we'll go and float around a little bit. But as you turn there, I do want to pray. Father, Lord, give me the words to speak tonight to our group of people. I pray, Father, tonight you'd give us ears and eyes to hear and see what you'd have for us tonight, that we may grow in our walk with you and have a desire for your word. In Christ's name, amen. So we see here that in verse 6, what we see in verse 6 is this. Let me go to verse 8. Cush fathered Nimrod, who began to be powerful in the land. He was a powerful hunter in the sight of the Lord. That is why it is said, like Nimrod, a powerful hunter in the sight of the Lord. And so what we see here is, says his kingdom started with Babylon, and then Erech, Akkad, Chaldea, and the land of Shinar. And so we read all that and we think, well, that don't really mean a whole lot, but it really does mean some things. Everybody has a parent, whether you've had a good parent or a bad parent, everybody has parents. And so what we see is we go back and Cush fathered Nimrod. So we know that Nimrod's father was Cush, right? And so we also know that if in verse 6 it says Ham had some sons and Cush was one of them. So we know that Ham had Cush and Cush had Nimrod. That's important. Know why? Because Noah had Ham. Noah is Nimrod's great-grandfather. Most of us may have not ever met our great-grandfather. If we do, we don't remember him very much. Our great-grandmother, we don't remember. Some of us may, but I barely remember a great-grandfather on one side. I do not even don't know anything about my other great-grandfather. My great-grandmother, I knew one. That's been for a while, and that's it. That was it. Because time passes, people get older and people pass away, and then the generations of families continue to grow through babies. But what we find out is Ham had Cush and Cush had Nimrod. But what we find out, what is going on with this family? What's going on with this bloodline? Well, we have to go here in chapter 9 to look at it. And then we're going to be jumping in this Tower of Babel. But I want to give you a little piece prior to what happened. Noah is the one to build the ark. Amen? We know that. Noah built the ark. You can read that through Genesis 6 through 9. But there was a day that all that was done, and Noah was doing some things here. We're going to go. We're going to pick it up here. I'm just going to kind of read it kind of quickly. It said, verse 19, these three were Noah's sons, and from them the whole earth was populated. Noah was a man of the soil, began by planting a vineyard. He drank some of the wine, became drunk, and unclothed himself inside his tent. Now, I want to say, it doesn't mean I'm a drunkard. He just got drunk that time. Okay, people do things they shouldn't do. There is a difference between a drunkard and someone who gets drunk. Okay, now, I'm not sugarcoating. I'm not saying he didn't do anything wrong. He just did that. He did that, and that is wrong. And so, some people battle through that in their studies. But once again, men sin. We do. As human beings, we do sin. But what we see in verse 22, it says, Ham, the father of Canaan, saw. So when it says father of Canaan, that's land. That's land down in, it's a land. But we're going to use Ham, saw his father naked, and he told his brothers outside. So Noah was naked. Ham saw it, and he went out and told his brothers. Then Shem and Japheth took a cloak, placed it over their back of their shoulders, and walking backward, they covered their father's nakedness. So they did it this way. They walked in backwards through the tent. So not to see their father's nakedness. You know what that is? That's called honor and respect. Even if that father had done something he shouldn't have done, there is a part of being respectful. And so then Shem and Japheth took a cloak and placed it over both their shoulders and walked backward. They covered their father's nakedness. That's what they did. They didn't want to see their father's nakedness. And their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father naked. I remember when my father was sick in the hospital for 7 months, and he was at a hospice, and it was toward the end of his life, and they said, here, we need to pull the sheets down, and we want to show you something. I said, I don't need to see that. I do not need to see my father naked. I know he's sick. I know he's dying, and I love him with all my heart. I do not want to see the holes in his back and his legs. I don't want to remember that way, and I don't want to, because I know this. When you see an image, you can't take it out of your mind. That's why pornography is so bad. So I didn't want that to be an image that I saw him, because I looked at him as a strong Christian man and all that he did. And he was not a perfect man, but I saw him as my father. I saw him as a mentor in my life, and I didn't want to see his nakedness because I don't think he would want me to see his nakedness. But here it is. These gentlemen walked backwards. His sons did, and said, when Noah woke from his drinking and learned what his youngest son had done to him, he said, Canaan, which is Ham, is cursed. He will be the lowest of slaves to his fathers. He also said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. And then he goes on. He said, let Canaan be Shem's slave. Let God extend Japheth. And it goes on from there. What we see here, now there is a curse on this Ham's family. And so you're going to be the lower of the people and all that stuff. And here we find out Ham had a son named Cush, and Cush had Nimrod. Okay? So that's why that is important there. So Noah was Nimrod's great-grandfather. And so we find out, now we go to chapter 11. Some of this is going to come back here. Chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. God had a plan to go out and be fruitful and multiply and go out to the ends of the world. Okay? That's what he wanted people to do. And you got to remember, this is after the flood. And so God had already, in chapter 6, was grieved that he created man, and he flooded the world. But he saved Noah and his three sons and their wives. And out of that, a new group of people began to walk upon the earth. And now it says in verse 11, the whole earth had the same language and vocabulary. It means everybody understood one another. Everybody understood one another. As the people migrated from the east, they found a valley in the land of Shinar and settled there. Now, what we're going to read here, we're going to read this and we're going to find out that we do not see the name Nimrod in here, but we can pretty much tell that Nimrod was the one that that started the Tower of Babel. If we go back here in chapter 10, we see in verse 10, his kingdom started with Babylon, and then it goes in the land. It ends in the land of Shinar. He is a builder. He is a builder. Nimrod is a builder. He is a big hunter. Many of the theologians believe this guy was more like, almost like, bigger than everybody else. More like a, maybe a giant. Some people believe that. But anyway, everybody spoke the same language, but I know this. When people are going and migrating, there's always a leader. There's always a leader. There's always a pack leader. And so we know Nimrod is a part of this. And so he's doing this. And they said to each other, come, let us make oven brick, fired brick that they use for stone and asphalt for mortar. So they're wanting to do something. And it says, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the sky. Let us make a name for ourselves, otherwise we will be scattered throughout the earth. Their reasoning was, we don't want to be scattered out around the earth. But that's what the Lord wanted. And so what they decided to do was to do two things. They wanted to build themselves a city and a tower. They wanted to build a city and a tower. And they wanted to do it, and here it is, with its tops to the sky. Now, some of you will read in your Bible that it will say that it will kiss the heaven, or that it will reach up into the heavens. They wanted to build something very big and very great. They believed that they can build something that would go all the way up into the sky. And that's where they believe heaven would be. And we look at this, as you look at this, they're almost putting themselves into making them almost like gods. They want to be like gods themselves. They want to reach into heaven. I want to tell you today that there is a lot of people today, there are people today trying to make their way to heaven. They're trying to make their own way to heaven. They're trying to make their own way to heaven. Listen, you can't make your path to heaven. It's already laid, and Jesus laid that. There is no other way to heaven except by the name of Jesus Christ. But men still today are trying to build their way to heaven or into whatever kind of heaven they believe. Scientology is one of those. It is against God's word. That's why we need to read God's word, because some things, some cults will put in Jesus a little bit to make it look like it's Christian, but it's not. And it will lead you astray. And sometimes crowds will make it, a crowd of people can almost feel like, oh, there's a lot of people here, so it has to be right. Well, there was a lot of people here following a leader that said, hey, let us build ourselves a city and a tower that will go to the top of the sky, that will go to heaven. People are doing that. But even in churches sometimes seem to want to build themselves up to heaven. God is never impressed by our numbers. It's by our heart he sees. And he is always looking at our hearts. And he's looking at their heart, and they're building, they want to build something up. And then they said, they made a really bad piece here. They said, let's make a name for ourselves. The Bible says that we are called to love the Lord, our God. And that's what we have. We serve no other gods. That's our number one commandment. Love the Lord our God. Do not serve other gods. Right? It's about God. Right? Don't make engraven images. I may have that backwards. And the third is not to take the Lord's name in vain. And the fourth is to keep the Sabbath and keep it holy. First four commandments is about you and the Lord. The fifth is to honor our father and mother. But we are called not to make a name for ourselves. Not to make a name for ourselves. That's why here at New Life, we try not to, when we do this and good things happen, we want to exalt and lift up the name of Jesus, not New Life. Outside people want to lift up New Life and say how great New Life Fellowship or New Life Ministries is, or how big and nice this program is and how great it is. But we want to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Two nights ago, me and Carla didn't get home from our ministry work until midnight. We didn't get home until after midnight. We were in Indianapolis, and Bob did not know. He runs our soup kitchen. If you didn't know, he's our director of the meal ministry. We knew, but he didn't know he was going to get an award for being a realtor, but not for that, but all the things he does on his own time. And so he had wheelchair basketball, but he also runs our soup kitchen. And so they really just praised him, and that was great what he did. And then they praised the ministries, they praised the wheelchair, they did all that. But I want to let you know what Bob did. Bob was pulled down, and this place was elegant. I mean, this place was beautiful. It's a cathedral. Carla looked at me, I looked at her, and I said, I think I dressed down. All of them were suits and stuff. Maybe one or two people weren't. Everybody was looking nice. It was elegant. And they really lifted up their people. Nothing wrong with that, but they lifted it up. But when it came Bob's time to share, he didn't lift up the ministries. He didn't really lift up any the wheelchair. He lifted up the Lord. And I think that was a great piece, an edification that he wasn't building up a name for himself. He was building up and sharing and boasting on Jesus. And that's what God wants us to do. But here we find out that man, very early, I mean, we're talking Genesis, the world's already been destroyed once, and that was in chapter 6, 7, 8, and all of a sudden in 9, here we are in 11, and we're already having the same problem again. We're building a name for ourselves. And that's, you know, and Satan, that's what Satan does. There is Jesus Christ, right? The Son of God. But we also know there's an Antichrist, you know, and we know that Satan wants to build his name. And so here it is, Nimrod and the people come together and said, we want to build a tower that reaches up into the heavens, and we want to build a name for ourselves, right? Well, when you do that, you're going to grab the attention of someone. And the next verse in verse 5 is the Lord. The Lord came down to look over the city and the tower that the humans were building. God is always watching. It wasn't that he needed to really come down and say he missed it because he's in heaven. No. But he came down. His eyes came down. He already saw it, but he came down. He's looking. And the Lord said, if they begin to do this as one people, all having the same language, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. So let us go down there and confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech and will disperse them around like they're supposed to be. And this whole thing that you're building, this whole name thing, will be done for now. And so that's what they did. And that was a great piece. So God knows that building this tower was drawing people away from him and drawing it to the tower. Okay? All right? We do not worship this building. Amen? We worship in the building. But we don't worship the building. We just worship in the building. Wearing a cross is okay. Those symbol things are great, but we don't worship them. We worship what the world doesn't see. We worship Christ. And what we find out is these individuals this tower was going to be worshipped. You can tell this tower, one of the biggest tower, and they were building the city, it was going to be worshipped, and those things will draw you away from the Lord. It doesn't matter if you have the best music worship. It doesn't matter if you have like a great charismatic pastor, charismatic church, all those things. If those things become bigger than the Lord, then it's not about the Lord anymore. Everything needs to be overshadowed by God. He'll keep you in perspective. He'll keep everything in line. These people were getting out of line. That's what Nimrod did. That's what Nimrod did. It was back in 10. His kingdom, it says his kingdom, right? We're talking about God's kingdom. We're talking about Nimrod's kingdom. His kingdom started with Babylon. That's a key thing. Chapter 10, verse 10, it says his kingdom began with Babylon, so far in the land of Shinar. This is Nimrod's kingdom, right? If you go to Daniel, you'll see that Nebuchadnezzar, they said, build yourself up a statue of yourself. And you know what? It becomes big. And guess what people do? They worship it. They worship it. What are the things in America that you can think of right now that we worship as Americans? We worship. political parties. We worship sports. But not only sports, we worship sports figures and athletes and actors. We worship those people who are super smart. I don't want to mention any name. We think that they have all the answers. When what we have right in front of us is telling us how to live life, how to do it right, how not to do it. And so God says, let us go down. That's a key piece in verse 7. He says, let us go down. It wasn't that God was going by himself. He goes. We're going to go down. We're going to check it out. And they turn around. And they see what Nimrod has built. You see, Noah was building something for God. Nimrod was building something for himself. He didn't learn anything. He didn't learn what he needed to learn from his great-grandfather. He was building a kingdom for himself. God's not interested in you building a kingdom for yourself. He's not interested in me building my own kingdom. My life, once I came to Christ, once before I had Christ, I was living my life. When I came to Christ, my life now does not belong to me. It didn't belong to me before. I was just living in rebellion like you, before you had Christ. But now that you have Christ, Christ has you. He has you. And you know what? I like being in the hands of God. Even though sometimes it makes me shudder, it scares me sometimes. There is a fear of the Lord. You need to have that at times. He is God, but I'm going to tell you, He wants the best for you. He has a purpose for you and a plan for you. And it's not to build your own kingdom. It is not to build your own kingdom. I tried to do it when I was in the military. I tried to do it. I got into all the things. I got into special weapons teams down into the jungles of Panama. I got into undercover drugs over in Europe. I'm like, I couldn't stop getting to the next level. What's the next level? Got in the area. Met my first CIA guy. Got into that area. Like, oh yeah, now they offered me a job. God told me I didn't build you for that. But I got out. But I wasn't ready to fully commit myself. I started my own private investigation agency. Youngest person in the state of Indiana that ever had that. I did what I wanted to do until me and God got me on a crossroads and said, hey, I'm going to put you on a reckoning, boy, and you and me are going to talk because I didn't create you for this. Yeah, you're saved. You gave me your heart, but you did not give me your life. I was building my own kingdom, and I didn't even really realize it. How do you know when you're building your own kingdom? When you do this. And this is what I was doing. Lord, this is what I want to do, and you need to bless it. Instead of me saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'll do that and bless it. Big difference. Big difference. And so what is beautiful, though, is the Lord took all those experiences, and this is what I'm doing today. Pastoring a church that has ministries where we can work with people who I've, instead of putting people in jail, yeah, I can help people stay out of jail. Yes. Yes. And it's so much better. And I wasn't sharing the gospel over there. I wasn't sharing the gospel in Panama. I wasn't sharing the gospel in Europe. I wasn't doing much of that. But something happened to me down in that jungle when I was back with the Lord in a Bible study and with a few people. And the Lord was speaking to me. He said, son, I didn't create you for this. What'd you create me for, Lord? And he just said, I'm not telling you right now. You just need to take step one. Get your life right back with me. Get your life right back. Get it back with the Lord. So I had to stop building my own kingdom. Because when I was building it, it wasn't looking like I thought it was going to look like. That's why I kept going from one stop to the next, because you'll never be satisfied if you build your own kingdom. You know, people with a lot of money, a lot of them are miserable. I've been to a home, a multimillionaire home, and I felt a dark presence in that home, and I walked by the family. You know what I felt? A fear from the family of him. This is the discernment that the Holy Spirit gives sometimes. I felt fear. I walked through, and another person, I didn't even bring it up, the person I was with, we got back in the car, and he said, man, did you feel that? I'm like, what? He said, man, did you feel the spirit of fear? And I said, yeah, I did. He said, it was right coming from the kitchen, wasn't it? I'm like, yep, yep. And that dude, they had more money than all of us together. Money doesn't make people happy, but that's what the world says. Do it the world's way. Do what you want to do. Build your own kingdom. And God says he's not interested in building the kingdom. Why was Noah so awesome? Because he built what God wanted him to build. And I want to tell you, God doesn't waste time. He doesn't waste resources and he doesn't waste lives. Noah may not understood it all, but he kept being obedient and he built it. And you don't want to know, I think he was glad that he finished it and he did what God called him to do. He was building an ark. It didn't make sense. You know, there was a time when we first started New Life and a man, and I said, this is what God has called us to do. To work with women, men, and children, and to do food, something with food. And that man turned around and said, you're trying to build your own kingdom. Huh? He said, you're acting like you're Jim Jones. I'm like, what? I had to take a step back and pray about that. Lord, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? He said, listen, you're not doing it. And the Holy Spirit just said, you're not doing this because you wanted to. I called you to do this. Be careful who you let speak into your life. Because Satan will put people in your life to tear you down. Never to build you up. Never to build you up. And so Nimrod continued to build. And God says, I'm done with that. And what did he do? He went down and he confused their language. We would have never thought of doing something like that. But the great and almighty God says, I'm going to confuse their language. And that way, they can only understand their language and they all disperse. And here it says, so from there, the Lord scattered them throughout the earth and they stopped building the city. Therefore, it is called Babylon. Do you know Babylon? Nebuchadnezzar. Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and all them came out of Babylon. But did you know Saddam Hussein tried to rebuild Babylon? Couldn't do it. People always want to rebuild the evilness. They always want to rebuild. Always want to rebuild. And we know what happened to him. So from there, the Lord scattered them throughout the earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, it is called Babylon. For there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them throughout the earth. Who's in charge? The Lord is. He knows what's best. He told them from the very beginning to go out and disperse. They wouldn't do it. He wanted to do it. You know, because you know what people who build their own kingdoms want? More people. More people. More numbers. As a reason, it's like, yes, there are churches out there trying to build their own kingdoms. But I want to remind you, it's okay to want the desire to want more people, but it needs to be for the right purposes and reasons. You want people to come because not to fill seats, but because people need to come to the Lord. People need to repent. People need salvation. Saved people need to be baptized, and the church needs to do communion. Listen, people, I would say this, the people that are home not going to church, they're always listening to the podcast or listening to our stuff online, but never making it to church, missing out on the best things of fellowship, communion time together, even observing communion, physically watching people become salvation, watching people be baptized, missing the whole joy of what God has for the whole church to be together. And that's what God is building. He's building his church through Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is something that God will invest in. That is something God is a part of. That's what he is doing. So why was it built? I'm going to give you a couple of things. One is just out of pride and arrogance. Prideful. Arrogance. Trying to gain a significance, a name for yourself, name for himself. And really, there is no real security. You can't. Sometimes they would build cities because they wanted security. Listen, security doesn't come from what you build. Security comes from the Lord. You can read history books where God intervened in things and all the security of man would fail. But the security of God would always defend his people. Always. The security of Daniel in the lion's den. Was there walls? No. All the walls were gone. He was in the same room with the lions. But the security was God himself and his angels. Isn't that amazing? We're all in the world. We're always building about security. Build it, build it, build it. So pride a part of that. And so we need to also remember God has a purpose for us. Serve God or serve the world. You got to figure it out. Nimrod wanted to serve himself. It says in 10:10 that his kingdom began. Well, God said, I'm done with that. And so you either build your own kingdom or start building with God. And how you start building with God is what we talked about earlier. God, What is it that you want me to do with my life? Because when I was in control of my life, man, I was horrible. How many of y'all know when you were in control of your life, you did stupid stuff? You did sinful things. And you did it over and over and over. And you woke up one day and said, I'm going to make a change. And you couldn't make the change. Because you said you have enough power and you're in charge. You were still building your kingdom and you just fooled yourself. You just went on the backside of it. You went on the side of it. You just kept trying to build it in a different way. God is not going to bless people's own kingdoms. But you get with God and start asking Him, what do you want? And His purpose, then you'll start seeing blessings and you'll have testimonies instead of just prayer requests. Amen? And then, other part of it is, they wanted to make their own way to heaven. They wanted to build their way to heaven. Well, if God had a plan through Jesus Christ, that whoever, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's the only way. If God sent His Son, we know that, to come to earth, do all that He did, to minister, to die upon the cross, to be buried and rise again, do you think God's going to allow another way for people to go to heaven? Why don't we keep thinking we're going to go to heaven a different way? Because we still have pride and we still want control and we want to do our own purposes. Let all that go. But you have to repent and say, Lord, I've done my purposes. It don't work. I was prideful, thought I could do it on my own. It doesn't work. I want to do it your way now. I need to do it your way. So pride, purpose, and way to heaven. God has all that if you just let Him have it. And when you're lifting up Jesus, you're done, you have a tendency to be done with pride. Because you're giving it all, the glory, to God. And God hears your glory. He hears your praises. Even if no one else does, walk into a cornfield and just praise His name and say, Lord, thank You for taking me through this last year. I think I did pretty good last year, had some bumps, but Lord, help me be better this year. Help me be better and finish out 2024 better with You than when I started. Because I'm done building my own kingdom. I want to build with You. I want to build with You. Father, thank You so much for the opportunity tonight just to talk about what really happened at the Tower of Babel and the beginning of this family and the beginning of this whole thing. Thank You, Lord, that You give us a direction that goes alongside with You and leads You and leads us, that You lead us into the direction that You'd have. Now, Father, I pray that Your Spirit has spoken to us as a group of people and as individually. And I pray Your will be done in these next few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's